Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shrestham Nanamapi Satiputravata Surupam Rupam Tasyagaram Urupurim Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Giriveramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasin Pratita Shri Guru Mitam Natavas Vandeham Shri Guru Shiatav Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Bhavita Shri Vishwana Dhamsa Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Satchidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Surupaya Rupano Vavarayate Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare We're celebrating the appearance in this world of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We just sung two of the kirtans composed by him, which give some entrance into his heart. He has also written much in prose, which we may say reveals more his mind than poetry reveals his heart. Both prose and poetry reveal mind and heart, but prose is generally more subject of the mind. He has given many writings, intellectual, philosophical writings, and in the poetry, he expresses his feelings. That's a common term, especially in America. Everyone has to express their feelings. But the feelings of people who are disconnected from Krishna are just all useless or worse. But the feelings of a pure devotee, pure feelings, pure devotee feelings for the Vaishnavas, for Krishna, and ultimately Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Gaura Shakti Swarup, Rupa Anu Gavara, he's the very form of the transcendental energy of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the best of the followers of Rupa Goswami. So his transcendental vision reaches up beyond Vaikuntha, up to Vrindavan, and to the service of Radha here. So he has revealed his identity as servant of the Vaishnavas. And here this Amitoshananda Shukada Bhashi Kirtan, this comes within his Sharanagati series of songs in which he illuminates the six limbs of Sharanagati. So this is one of them in Pratikul. Pratikul means that which is detrimental to devotional service. So Pratikul yasya varjanam, one should anukul yasya sankalpa, vow to accept whatever is favorable for advancing in devotional service, and that which is pratikul, that which is detrimental, one should forswear that. So in the pratikul section, there are songs based on the Upadeshamrita, the Atyahara Prayasas Cha, etc. Eating too much, collecting too much. So this is in the stage of sadhana, the sadhaka. He
he vows to or endeavors to overcome these practices which are detrimental to advancement in devotional service, eating too much or collecting too much, endeavoring, making mundane endeavors, prajalpa, talking nonsense, mundane things which have no connection with Krishna, and so on. And in the stage of siddhi, the siddha, the perfect devotee, what he considers, this is, this song describes Bhaktivinoda Thakur as, describes himself as Radhika Madhava Charana Dasi. Dasi means servant, specifically female servant. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, although in a male body, in his service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his service in Vrindavan, is in a female body, specifically as Kamala Manjari, and he has revealed that, and in other songs, here he declares himself to be a servant of Radhika and Madhav, but between the two, he has revealed also that Amito Radhara Pakapati Sada. Between the two, I'm on Radha's side. So, this extraordinary personality, Vaishnavas are extraordinary. His glories, the Vaishnava world, is what to speak of the broader world. The Vaishnava world is yet to discover. Some devotees are much, within our movement, they much appreciate Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs, which is, that's his songs are monumental. There's songs, his other writings, the fact that he was doing this and he was active in, very active in practically preaching also. And he did all this while he was maintaining a large family. So it's quite extraordinary what Bhaktivinoda Thakur did. His songs, many devotees in our movement are appreciating, but I think you can't appreciate them fully or properly unless you understand Bengali, because you can read the translations. The translations are good, but the same feeling won't come through. These songs we just sung, very simple language. Of course, some of the words will be difficult to understand in even for the average Bengali, unless they know. Even an educated Bengali, they won't know what this all means. Choi Bega, what was this? Choi Bega Dami, what is Choi Dosha Shodi, Choi Guna Dehodase, Choi Shat Sangha. They won't know. Well, they may not know what that means specifically in the context of Rupa Goswami's Upadeshamrita. And all this about Chandra and Shaiva, one has to be educated in Gaudiya teachings to even have a what does this all mean? The language and the construction is very simple, but the purport is very deep, and the feeling is very deep, and that. Translations, they can never bring over. They can bring over the sense. Literally, the sense can be translated to a large extent, but the full feel of it, and after all, in our Gaudiya culture, ultimately, it's all about feelings. I did say ultimately, because it's not something to be jumped into prematurely. Feelings that arise from service. Bhaktivinoda Thakur introduces himself as Radhika Madhava Charana Dasi, this maidservant. That's the whole point. Unless we have that fully, this feeling. Now the word feeling in English is being used in a slightly different way. When I was saying feeling, that's the bhava. Ultimately, bhakti is about bhava, which is based on service. But the feeling that I am a servant, now the word feeling, that we, if we translate that back, that becomes abhimana, sense of self-identity, of being a servant of Radha and Madhav. And there's another thing, if we see in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs, he refers to Radha Krishna, Radha Govinda, but more than any other two, Radha Madhava, as we sing every morning, Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. He personally worshipped Radha Madhava at his ancestral home in Choti in Orissa, and also in Mayapur. So there's a great wealth that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given. His writings, his songs, writings, his prose writings, they're not all translated. And one book seems to be unavailable. It's not been found, Datta Kaustubha. His writing, his practical preaching, he in the city of Calcutta, outside in villages, he inspired or organized Prapanashramas, which is they're still Prapanashramas. He founded the ones in West Bengal are still going on. In the one which fell into Bangladesh, I went to that place. There's no trace of it. What he founded there, more than about 150 years ago, still going on. He found that devotees or the local village people would daily gather and perform kirtan, and it's been going on generation after generation. Prapanashrama. There's in Mednipur, West Mednipur district, and Bardhaman district, there are some prapanashrams still going on. So many things he did. His life is quite extraordinary, actually. Even materially, it's quite how he was from a very rich landed gentry, but lost everything, including all his relations. Practically, they died from the epidemic. But still, with that's one advantage of the broader culture, that the more distant relations took care of him. So he got an education which was considered suitable for people or young boys at that time. Means that he was educated in the British system. The British had made the educational, their idea to educate these troublesome Bengalis and get them educated in English style, and then they will realize, as Lord Macaulay, I think it was, said that one shelf of any decent European library is worth far more than all the shastras, as they called it, shastras put together. Not all Britishers were like that. There was one, Lord Curzon, who was also the governor of Bengal, who was very appreciative, and for that he got tried. He tried for was a court case put on against him. He actually appreciated, truly appreciated the Indian culture. So the idea was that we can't control the Indians unless we break their faith in Shastra. What rascals. So they were able to, their work is done. And among the first batch was Bhaktivinoda Thakur was being educated in that system and took very seriously the writings of various speculators at the time, English and American, who were considered very important at that time. The idea that in Indian culture you just have belief in all these ridiculous things, rivers, oceans of treacle, that means in Shastra it's described that among the oceans there's one of sweet water. So there's massive giants with many heads. So the Europeans, they consider this is all something fantastic and it's nonsense, it's just something dreamed up. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was raised in that culture. And there were attempts to, it caused this kind of education caused a stir because among the Bengali youth who were educated this way, because it brought them to consider their culture to be backward, but at the same time, most of them didn't want to fully reject it. And so they came up with ideas to modernize Hinduism, and they came up with the, in Bengal, the Brahma Samaj was supposed to be some kind of new religion which incorporated the best of Hinduism and the best of Christianity. And there were other reactionary movements. The Arya Samaj was completely against any westernization. That wasn't so prominent in Bengal, in other parts of India. And then later there came out the Ramakrishna Mission, which, although it's called the Ramakrishna Mission, was actually a product of Vivekananda, who was also a modernizer. So there are all these different people trying to, different groups trying to bring Hinduism into the modern age so they could survive. Well, Brahma, they had an idea they weren't Hindus, although practically they are, or were. They're almost finished now. So Hinduism could survive the scrutiny of rational thought, which the Europeans had instilled in the Bengali youth. But no one was looking at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. The situation was that the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had been hijacked by people who had not taken the true spirit. They had taken the feelings without the philosophical basis, which is why we don't usually, why we will sing songs like Oh Hey Vaishnava Thakur on a regular basis, but we may not sing songs like Amitoshananda Shukadabashi on a regular basis, because it expresses feelings that we may aspire for, but they're very difficult for us to comprehend as long as we don't fully identify ourselves, first of all, as a servant of the Vaishnavas. We pray for the mercy of the Vaishnavas. And Deho Krishna Nama Dhane, give me the wealth of Shraddha Bindu Diya, give me the wealth of the holy name, give me a drop of faith. there is a difference between the stage of sadhana and siddhi and those who are on the stage of sadhana, sadhaka, one who is practicing sadhana. They should be very careful not to prematurely try to establish themselves in the stage of siddhi, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur instructed that. What is that? Adhikana lobhya shiddha deha bhave viparja buddhi janme shaktira bhave. He warns that if one has not attained the qualification for meditating on one's own perfect form, if one attempts to do so in such a case, then the result will be that instead of attaining that form, one will instead attain the opposite kind of consciousness. It'll actually be detrimental to one's spiritual advancement due to lack of eligibility, lack of the spiritual power to maintain oneself in that situation. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There were others also who were from the educated class who were interested to revive Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, which had been sidetracked by persons who were not to the proper level, and it's very common to discuss among that was the norm among Bengali Vaishnavas. They would discuss the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And if we find the songwriting tradition of Bengali Vaishnavas, there's thousands of songs, and they're mostly all about most of them are based on Gita Govinda, the story of Gita. Many are based on Gita Govinda. Just in various ways discussing the same plot, how in the rasa dance, Radha goes away, Krishna searches for her, their reunion is there. That's it, in a few words. And many others describing the beauty of Krishna, and the songs about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. Narottam Das Thakur, his songs, many of them are somewhat different in as much as they give some guidance for sadhakas. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, more than anyone, he was profuse in writing songs, and most of them are for guiding sadhakas. Sadhaka means one who's practicing, who hasn't attained perfection, but who's practicing. And even many of his songs, maybe we say more poems, because they're not much sung, but they give practical guidance of what should be our attitude in devotional service, how we shouldn't be eager, for instance, to be a sannyasi, how we should avoid all wrong philosophies, especially impersonalism, how we should not be greedy for name and fame, and so on. So the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur are very helpful for those persons who are aspiring for pure devotional service. Very educational. You can get a full education in devotional service from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs and poems. So, yeah, there were others also who were, at the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who were identified themselves as Vaishnavas, followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even though the Sampradaya of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come largely among the educated classes to be considered something very low class. because in the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there was a whole sex cult going on. Men would renounce the world and live in akaras, monasteries, and then women who are thrown out of their home for adultery. That's unimaginable in America because adultery, it's just something so normal. And you can't throw the wife out of the home anyway. She can throw you out more likely. But so yeah, if a woman was found to be adulterous, then she'd be thrown out of the home, and her recourse would be to become a Vaishnavi and serve, become a maidservant of one of the Babaji's, and you can imagine what goes on. And then a whole caste came out of this, Bushtam is a word, it's an upper branch. It's a distortion of the word Vaishnav. So that the word Vaishnav came to mean one of the meanings was the caste of children who are born out of wedlock, which was considered abominable. It is abominable, actually. Whether people in America consider it as such or not. From these Babaji's with their Sevadasis, that was the word. The word Sevadasi is a term used in pure Gauriya vocabulary to mean the gopis, or one meditating on one's spiritual form as a gopi, serving Radha and her servants. But that had become perverted to mean some unchaste woman who's turned out of home and has ritualized her unchastity by becoming servant of a Babaji. And as Bhaktisthana Sarasvati Thakur pointed out, there are men who become Babajis so they can get the Sevadasis. So you become a Babaji, or what's supposed to be a renunciant, for the sake of enjoying illicit sex. How perverse. So this was the situation. So the very term Vaishnava was considered something horrible. And actually it was. Not everyone. There were others also with the pranam mantra of Jagannath Das Babaji. Vaishnava Sarava Bhuma. He's referred, means he's the emperor of the Vaishnava community. So it's not that everyone was fallen, but enough that it gave a very bad impression among the more educated class, which they might not have had that had they not been exposed to and trained in Victorian standards of morality, because that was considered, it was considered all right that a man could pose himself as a woman on religious grounds, for instance. That's another upasampradaya. It wasn't considered necessarily a bad thing. So yeah, there were others also who were from an educated background, who were influential in promoting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement at that time. One was the Ghosh, what's his name? The Tarankanti, I just can't remember now. Very famous name. Shishya Kumar Ghosh. So he wrote in English, Lord Gauranga, one book, small book, which Srila Prabhupada said is useless. And when someone wanted to, when one disciple wrote, and Prabhupada said, it's his word, it's, he gave a one-word description of it. That and in Bengali, he wrote a much bigger book, Amiya Nimai Charit, the nectarine pastimes of Nimai. So the Bengali edition was in simple Bengali, which was a relief for many people who, because generally the writing at that time was generally, especially on religious topics, even if it was in vernacular languages like Bengali, even if not in Sanskrit, it was generally highly Sanskritized, and it was difficult to understand unless one was very highly educated. So this, and Chaitanya Charitamrita also, the teachings would be, even though it's in, actually the structure of the verse is very simple. It's a typical Bengali verse from Payar, which is called, which means 14 syllables in each line, two couplets, each with 14 syllables. The grammar is archaic, and many of the words wouldn't be understandable to unless one is specifically educated in that technical language. Just like, for instance, Jive Shurup Hoy Krishna Nittodas Krishna Tartashta Shakti Bheda Bheda Prakash. Exactly the meaning of Swarup, the word Jiva may or may not be understood, not to the common people, the implications of it. Swarup, what does it mean in Gaudiya Vaishnava terminology? Hoy Krishna Nittodas, those words are easier to understand. But then Krishna, that's easy to understand. But Tatashta Shakti Bheda Bhed Prakash, no one's going to understand that unless they're specifically educated in Gaudiya Vaishnava teachings. Of course, one may be educated in some other philosophical system, but Bheda Bhed, specifically in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching, they're not going to understand. So, this Shishya Kumar Ghosh's writing, and also he had his Amrita Bazaar Patrika, the daily newspaper, and through this he promoted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. But he himself was what we would call a mild sahajya, or soft sahajya, not a full blasted one. But we use the word sahajya in a very broad term, to mean anyone who's a devotee, but they're somewhat off. We used to use it. Now, off is off and on. There's not much distinction. but it has specific meaning. There was, and is in Bengal up to the present time a specific Sampradaya, not exactly a Sampradaya, but, upper Sampradaya. Not organized, but they're called Sahajiyas. I remember meeting with someone once in Bangladesh, and he had some kind of tilak on, and I asked him, what Sampradaya are you? And he said, Sahajiya. So, but that was, that's what he answered. That's the Sampradaya he's in. So, for us, it's a pejorative term, but for them, it's sahajiya sampradaya. This Shishu Kumar, eating fish and all this kind of thing. And another from another who was very influential, actually more influential at the time in terms of public recognition, acclaim, followers, had a movement going on, was this Radharaman Charandas Babaji, who was the founder of the Nitai Gaur Radhe Sham Upper Sampradaya. So he was also from an educated background, who renounced the world and lived as a Babaji and attracted followers around him. So there were others also from the background of similar background to Bhaktivinoda Thakur who were trying to restore the position of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Significantly, we address Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Rupa Nogavara, which means the best of the followers of Rupa Goswami. That's in his the pranam mantra, which is commonly in most branches of the Gauriya Mata and in ISKCON. Namo Bhaktivinodaya Satchidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Surupaya Rupa Nogavaraya Te. This term Rupa Nogavara is very significant in as much as it indicates there are others who may claim themselves to be followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but who are not properly following Rupa Goswami. One who has to be properly following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one has to follow Rupa Goswami. Because it was Rupa Goswami who revealed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart's feelings. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadama Hyang Dadati Swapadantikam. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he worked through Rupa and Sanatana. He specifically stated that. We find that in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He entrusted his teachings to them, he specifically instructed both of them, with the aim that they should compose books to give the philosophical understanding that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave and the practice of Gauriya Vaishnavism. We'll find in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in summary, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Rupa and Sanatan to write about. There's the doxy and the praxy, the philosophy and the practice. What is the understanding, the philosophical background, and the highest teachings, the unatajvala rasa. So that's all in the writings of the Goswamis headed by Rupa Goswami. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is addressed as Rupa Nogavara, and in the next generation, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and his pranam mantras. What is that? Rupa Nogaviruddha Apasiddhanta Dvanta Hari. He is addressed as the one who removes the darkness of the wrong philosophical conclusions that are opposed to the genuine followers of Rupa Goswami. So this is a very important point, that there were others also who wanted to restore the dignity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement in the minds of respectable people, but without giving credence or to Shishir Kumar Ghosh, Radharaman Charan Das Babaji and others. We specifically give that to Bhaktivinoda Thakur because he gave the teachings as they are, as it is. This is an important term Srila Prabhupada introduced to us, as it is. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave the proper understanding as it is, and there was fighting on every point. There's so many misconceptions. And I spoke about that just yesterday. I just touched on that. How Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he, in his writings, he protested against the what we may call the traditional or orthodox Vaishnavas. That means the followers of the caste Goswami lines and the Babaji lines, who were the Gaudiya Sampradaya. And there are others also, the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who claim themselves to be followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, various Aul Baul, Karta Bhajan, Sai, Daravesh, Smarta, Jat Gosai, Saki Beiki, Churadhari, Goranga Nagari, all of these different groups who are prominent in Bengal at the time claim to be followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, some more than others. Goranagaris claim them directly concerned. Smartas, maybe, but in Bengal, there are all kinds of different groups who claim to be following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but who were not considered proper followers. But the Jat Gosai and the Babaji line, they considered themselves the orthodoxy of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And even over what might be considered minute points, that in his Sajjana Toshani, Bhaktivinoda Thakur made an article titled Sri Jiva Goswami Prabhu. And just on the use of the word Prabhu, he gave almost a full page footnote on why it is not only acceptable but proper to address Jiva Goswami as Prabhu, and in fact all Vaishnavas, whereas some people, Bhaktivinoda Thakur began the article by saying, Keho keho bole, some people say. He didn't directly target them, but just the philosophy, not the persons themselves. That this title, the word Prabhu, should be reserved only for Advaita Prabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. So you may say, well, why bother? Just there are more important things. Just leave it. There are so many more important things to discuss. But he took every point of their deviation, he took it up philosophically. That, no, you can't say this word Prabhu is only meant for these two, because we find in Shastra, there are so many instances in Srimad Bhagavatam. I discuss this later. He mentioned in that footnote that wherever there is bhakti, there is prabhuta, or the phenomenon of being a master. Vaishnavas, we accept all Vaishnavas as our prabhus. So he took up. It was a fight, and he didn't just go along with anything, everything that was going on. There is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, later described. I noted that in this book, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava, that this Ramakrishna was highly respected. But some people were doubtful. there's a whole background in Bengal up to the present day, but it was more pronounced previously, between the Shaktas, the worshippers of Durga and Kali. There was a divide between them and the Vaishnavas who worship Radha Krishna. In Bengal, Vaishnava means worship of Radha and Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda. So there was we find that at the time of Narottam Das, he made disciples out of Shaktas, Brahmanas, who were Shaktas, and it caused a big uproar, and even the local king was brought to punish Narottam Das because the Brahmanas were mostly Shaktas. They were worshippers of Durga, and they would sacrifice animals So there's this, and actually Bhaktivinoda Thakur was also born and raised in a family of Shaktas. But he became almost like a Christian. It seemed he was going to be a Christian. Or he was inclined to that. But then he became Vaishnava. So Ramakrishna, he was someone was upset that a member of his family was becoming inclined to Ramakrishna. So he asked Bhaktivinoda Thakur to deliberate on this and to get, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur was well respected as a religious guide, scholarly person, someone who knows what's what. So, actually they were physically, on the bodily platform, they were related. This Vivekananda, and not Ramakrishna, he's from Brahmin family. He's supposed to be a Brahmin. And, Vivekananda, his name was Nripendranath Datta and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Kedarnath Datta. So they were from the same branch of the Datta family. means Kayasta, which are by caste Shudra, actually, but not considered. They're among the Shudras, they're in a special category because they do administrative work. Ramananda Rai was also from the same. So they may have very high positions also. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then when he met Ramakrishna, he didn't challenge him, but after he left, quoting from Bhakti, how Ramakrishna went into ecstasy, so-called ecstasy, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur then gave the proper conclusion on how Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu describes shows of ecstasy, which is not real ecstasy. Abhas, it's a reflection. It's not the real thing. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he fought to establish the proper conclusions. But also in a somewhat guarded manner. And he also made friends with others who are also trying to promote Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings as being respectable, not only respectable, but the highest of, actually they're the highest of the high, but to be, first of all, they had to be accepted as respectable because they were considered the lowest of the low. So it's something like Varahadev picking up the earth from the lower places into which it had fallen. Now, there are devotees who are doing academic research into Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and hopefully they'll reveal many of these things, but it appears that he started this Sajana Toshani magazine. He used to write for this Vishnu Priya Patrika. There were many, actually, Vaishnava magazines being floated around at the time. Many publications were also. There was the time when with the British came the printing press, and as it had done previously in Europe, it brought about much social change and intellectual change in India. It had a profound effect. And it seemed he was Vishnu Priya Patrika. When you hear the word Vishnu Priya, then, we don't think like that, but generally in Bengali Vaishnavism, that generally that will be associated with the Gauranga Nagaris who promote Vishnu Priya. So he came out of that. He opposed. But at some time, it seems he was writing for that, and then he came out and made his own magazine. So he had some run-ins, but it seems he was trying to adjust to some extent with others who were influential. This Shishir Kumar Ghosh gave him the title, the seventh Goswami. So there's research is going on with all that, and these magazines that the British had the idea to preserve. So these old editions of Vishnupriya Patrika, they're still in the libraries from that time. So there's a great wealth of research material, but it take a long time to read it all and process it all. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gave the proper understanding, proper siddhanta, but at the same time he was cautious in his dealings. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur took the fight to the next level when he found that the teachings of Bhaktivinoda, even Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself stated that he was very hopeful of the pure teachings would be revived, but in the meantime, the movement which he had started with much enthusiasm to revive the pure teachings had been taken over, had been hijacked by persons with different motives. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in disappointment, he left Calcutta, which was his place, his center of preaching, and he went in his old age to live in Puri. And then later he came back to Calcutta also. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, this also, some more research could be done into that, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur had founded the Navadvip Dham Pracharini Sabha, the association for preaching about Navadvip Dham. So, and then the Vishva Vaishnav Sabha. But the main organization was the Navadvip Dham Pracharini Sabha. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was in that, but he came out of that and started his own organization, accepted sannyas, and it seems that the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wasn't very satisfied with the followers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And there's even one article which came in the English Harmonist called Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in which it's stated that there are many followers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur who have memorized every word that he wrote. I don't know if that's an exaggeration, because he wrote a lot. But I myself know one that family. Well, Jyoti Shekhar Prabhu was a disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So his family, his children, how many children? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I believe. The whole family, his wife also, they all knew all the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They could all sing all the way. Even to memorize all of that is quite an achievement. But in this article it said that there are many who have memorized every word of his writings, but they don't understand one word. And he made this statement in that article, just called Thakur Bhaktivinoda, that's the title of that. The statement that to understand Bhaktivinoda Thakur is only possible through the pure devotee, which means through Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So actually analyzing this will require much a lot of research and a lot of transcendental insight also to understand the import of this. Because Bhaktivinoda's followers, they said, well, what's this Bhaktisiddhanta? He's not following Bhaktivinoda. What's he doing? What's all this? Bhaktivinoda, he didn't, what's this sannyas? Bhaktivinoda, he said it's better to be a household. He didn't recommend this. He spoke against having akras, which means a monastery, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur founded the Sri Chaitanya Math, and after that the Gauriya Math. And Math is practically synonymous with akra. It means a monastery. So what's going on? How can you call yourself a follower of Bhaktivinoda Thakur? So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur saw that too. He himself stated that he himself is fully composed of Bhaktivinoda. Everything he did was simply to further the mission of Bhaktivinoda. And he was personally trained from birth by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But what he found necessary to do to carry forward the mission of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that appears in doing so that he departed from some of the teachings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So it's a great subject, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Among his many teachings, there are four words which I find to be of paramount importance. Just four words. Parampara jano bhalamate. Understand well parampara. In English we can reduce it to three words, unless you want to translate parampara. Then it comes four words. Understand well disciplic succession, guru disciple succession. Or parampara doesn't, not necessarily, well, it comes through the medium of guru and disciple. But it's not body to body. It's heart to heart, soul to soul. So what is the parampara? There are many mysteries seemingly in our parampara. This Gauriya Sampradaya is very difficult to define very clearly if we get into the details, because it is, by its own definition, achintya. When you come up very close, then we might find, just as if we see something very, we may see something very clearly, but if we bring it up very close, then I'm just talking about in terms of physical vision. If something is very close to our eye, we can't see it very clearly. But that is, achintya doesn't mean that it's completely impossible to understand, but it's not understandable simply by academic analysis. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gave so many teachings, important writings. That has to be brought to the world. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted to bring this to the attention of the world. There are many controversial points about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, about his teachings, about his life. So, as we follow Bhaktivinoda Thakur, how do we follow? We follow through Srila Prabhupada. And the parampara goes on. It didn't stop with Srila Prabhupada, as some would have us believe. Some devotional scholarly research is required to bring out and illuminate the mysteries and the glories of our parampara, including Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I compiled a book, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava, but I consider that to be, well, in one way it's an introduction, in as much as there's so much more to be written about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. directly, but really to understand Bhaktisthan Sarasvati Thakur, one has to understand Bhaktivinod, because he is fully composed of Bhaktivinod. Everything he said and did was for the pleasure of Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur. And of course Gorky Shaw. We shouldn't think that Gorky Shaw just is some side figure. He's also very important. But practically, training was given by Bhaktivinod Thakur to Bhaktisthan Sarasvati Thakur. So everything he did was on the order of Bhaktivinod Thakur and on the order of Gorky Shaw Das Babaji Maharaj. And for bringing their teachings, the teachings of Bhaktivinod Thakur, to the world. So he did, to better understand Bhaktisthan Sarasvati Thakur, one has to understand Bhaktivinod Thakur. I don't know if I'll have time in this life to do that kind of work, but that should be done. And to study his works, study his life, not how he did, what he did, what he said, as far as we can with whatever material is available now. Pray to him to reveal himself to us. These songs we have all collected. They were not collected previously. They were all scattered all over various publications. That means his songs, he wrote them and he put them. As he wrote, he'd publish it in Sajjana Toshami, and there'd be in one edition, and then in another edition there'd be another song. But then shortly after he passed away, Paramananda, who was one of the first disciples of Bhaktisthan Sarasvati Thakur and one of the first three disciples, but the other two left him shortly afterwards, but Paramananda stayed with him throughout the whole time of the Gauriya Math, and only toward the end he left and went home and got married. But in the beginning, Bhaktisthan Sarasvati Thakur put him in charge of the press. He gave so much importance to the printing press. Even before he started Sri Chaitanya Math, he rented an estate in Kalighat in Calcutta, and he got a press. He was very interested to get printing presses. So Paramananda was in charge of the press, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur came to him in a dream and said, you collect all the old magazines, find all the songs, and publish them in collections. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wanted that these songs be available in that way. So I'm just saying that he can reveal himself and his desire. That is going on. His desire was that, when will that day come when the devoted, the Russians, the Prussians, the French, the Americans, the English will all come together with us, Bengalis, and we will embrace each other and chant Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana. So he had that vision, and that came to pass through Srila Prabhupada. So he is revealing himself, but our duty is to glorify him also more and more. People of the world should know him. Now they just had this Vivekananda centennial, but nothing about Bhaktivinoda. Bhaktivinoda centennial also, and who knows? Bengalis are so proud of Vivekananda. They don't know Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So we sing, Ebe Josh Gushok Tribhuvan. His glory should be spread throughout the three worlds. So that's one of our duties, is to glorify the acharyas. So we have to know who they are, what they taught, what is their influence. As I said yesterday, one devotee, he's been reading Bhaktivinoda Thakur's works in translation. He said, oh, Prabhupada got everything from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's all the same. Yeah, of course it's the same. What do you expect? And if we go to Acharya's previous Bhaktivinoda, we'll find it's all the same. Of course, Bhaktivinoda also had some theological contributions, the manner he presented, and some specific teachings. We should know that. Of course, not everyone can know. Most devotees, they'll chant. If they chant Hare Krishna and follow four principles, we'll be very happy. But the acharyas, they're acharyas because they didn't only chant Hare Krishna and be happy, but they took much trouble by writing, by personally speaking to others, to try to induce others to also chant Hare Krishna and be happy. They're happy themselves chanting Hare Krishna, but they want that others should also chant. And so they write, they preach, they organize. So we should know who they are. Parampara, jano, bhalo mate. We should know who they are. What are their contributions? Some devotees should know this. It may be that because the contributions of each of them is vast, even one word that they give is all inconceivable and unlimited, but in terms of the volume and the volume and the depth, the quality, what our acharyas have given is vast. It's a huge project. One devotee, this Dr. Demian Martins, he's not initiated, but anyway, he's fully. So he's got his life's project of finding out the lost works of Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan, translating them, and promoting them. So, like this, it may be that one devotee specializes in one acharya, or even one aspect of one acharya's teachings. And even Bhaktivinoda Thakur, what he gave was so vast that even just one aspect of this Radhika Raman, who is here in America, he did his PhD thesis on a small section of Jiva Goswami's Paramatma Sandarbha. That was his PhD thesis. just a few verses. So the depth is unlimited, and Jiva Goswami, the depth and the quantity also is so. What gifts we got. What gifts we've been given. Srila Prabhupada gave us the synopsis, or it's more than a synopsis. He gave us so much, but it's all coming from our acharya. We can glorify them by glorifying their contributions, as we are doing so today, in some way. But there's so much to do, so much. Haridas Thakur's disappearance, that's also described in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. His pastimes are also described in the Antya Leela. There's a whole chapter describing some of his pastimes. In Chaitanya Bhagavat also, some of his pastimes are described. The extraordinary personality, Haridas Thakur, who Sanatana Goswami described in brief, summarized it all, that prachar kare kehona kare achar, achar kare kehona kare prachar, achar prachar name karaha dui karj tumi sarva guru tumi jagate arj. He said that some people preach Krishna consciousness, but they don't properly practice it themselves. And some people have very rigidly practiced, but they don't preach it. But you do both in relation to the holy name. He set the standard for chanting the holy name. What's the standard? Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set the standard 64 rounds, 1 lakh of names daily. And Haridas Thakur, he had 3 times that daily, 3 lakhs names daily. But he also preached. And he also followed very meticulously devotional service to the extent that beautiful prostitute came to make him fall down, and he made her come up instead. And then Maya Devi herself came to test him. And he was also completely unaffected. And then she also became, as the prostitute had become his disciple, she also became his disciple. Even though she's already a disciple of her husband, Lord Shiva, she said, "I got Ram Nam from my husband. Ram Nam, which will uplift us. And but now you've given me Krishna Nam. Ram Nam is the Tarak, but you've given me the Krishna Nam, which is the Parak, which takes us to the others. It takes us fully into the." I didn't even talk about that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his love for the holy name, which we can find in his songs, is so much emphasizes the holy. He's written so many songs which are names. He describes the effect of the holy name upon himself, how it brings him to the lotus feet of Krishna. So I'm saying about Haridas Thakur, the acharya of the holy name. Tumi Sarva Guru, Tumi Jagate Arja. Arya means civilized. Haridas Thakur is known as Muslim, which is uncivilized. Nowadays we don't say things like that, but the Muslims invaded India, and the people of India, those who didn't convert, they thought these people are just uncivil. They kill cows. They can have a religion or whatever. Why are they killing cows? And they kill Brahmins, and they destroy temples, and they destroy deities. What kind of people are these? The people they were praying Kalki Avatar, come early. They thought it must be time for Kalki Avatar, something uncivilized. And Haridas Thakur appeared in such a family. But then, demonstrating Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, that this is open to everyone. The holy name, everyone can take to the name of Krishna. And one who does so can become the highest Arya, Arya, origin Bengali. So Haridas Thakur was accepted by all the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the, although he always presented himself very humbly, but the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all considered him most respectable. So we'll stop now. And you had a question. What is that question? Yeah. Stop now means not take questions. Whatever question. Just say it. If the mic's not working, I can hear you anyway.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj. I was wondering, are the letters written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur to Lalita Prasad Svalikita Jivani, are those authentic? Because there's controversy on that. And if they are or aren't authentic, what's the understanding?
I don't know. That's the answer. Someone can do research. There's so much research required. Are they or are they not authentic? Because there are statements in there which would appear to justify the line of Lalita Prasad and to non-justify the line of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So I don't know. It's something someone can research if they like. The authenticity. Maybe authentic and interpolated. Who knows? Who knows? I don't know. That's my answer. I don't know.
Your research certainly...
When you do research, then you understand there's so much more to research.
Maharaj, thank you very much for speaking in detail on this.
That's the whole point. It's not detail. It's just as it's just touching the surface.
My question has to do with.
It's really that there's so much.
I see that.
So much work to do.
My question has to do with a reference in Setyaraj Prabhu's book and the life of Vaishnavacharyas, where he talks about Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivasacharya, Shaman, and Pandit. So there, it's recorded, and he mentions, it was recorded by all of the biographers at that time, that because the books of Goswamis had been lost, temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
So he organized that first Gaur Purnima festival. But one of his, Narottam Das Thakur, organized the first Gaur Purnima celebration, according to this book. So in that during that Gaur Purnima celebration, he invited Mother Vishnu Priya, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's wife. And she was a mediator between the different Gaudiya Vaishnava groups to reconcile their differences of philosophy that had arisen at that time and to bring forth the teachings of the six Goswamis. According to that writing, she was the one who requested the books to be brought to Navadvipa and to be presented there to create a unity and an actual...
To establish what is actually the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they're all different groups. That there was no orthodoxy. There were different people were saying different things, and they had different conceptions of who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, who Advaita is, who Nityananda is.
So that was my question, because you were going through all those Abhisambradayas.
Mm. They weren't included. The Gauranagaris weren't included. Gauranagari Vad is rejected directly in Chaitanya Bhagavat itself.
My question has to do with the groups that were...
Which makes it seem that there was such a... From Chaitanya Bhagavat, it's quite clear that right at that time when he was writing, which was shortly after the disappearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's a lot of controversy going on. Controversy. About all kinds of things. There was. About the position of Nityananda Prabhu. The Gaur Naga, he does refer to. Nagari Henonam, I can't remember exactly. He says, even though it's not, although everything is possible, I don't remember Bengali, although everything is possible in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he's the Supreme Lord, but in this avatar, he doesn't take the role of a Naga, which means an enjoyer.
The direction
of the Gaudiya Sampradaya was fully resolved, we can say, with Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, which I mentioned a little bit yesterday, which that's the seal, you could say, on the direction. because there was the controversy was going on between Swakiyavad and Parakiyavad, and Vishwanath, he gave it as Parakiyavad. There is a group in Vrindavan which is Radha Balab Sampradaya. They still follow Swakiyavad, but they're not considered Gauriyas. There are all kinds of others. They hit Harivang Sampradaya who worship Radha and they don't follow Ekadashi and all kinds of things. All kinds of things. I think the GBC is being very ambitious, trying to keep everything in one straitjacket. I don't know how possible it's going to be.
But from your research, you're stating that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was the one that actually created the work that...
Well, he established Parakiyavad as the Gauriya path, which in apparent refutation of Jiva Goswami, who gave the teachings, what is considered, in apparent refutation, I say apparent, it's an important qualifying term here.
I mean, certainly Chaitanya Charitamrita focuses on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's worship.
Chaitanya Charitamrita, the importance, yeah. Very important work. What the six Goswamis gave in all their teachings, it's all there. It's all summarized in there. Hare Krishna. So, you want to announce the schedule then? Are any other questions? Yeah. There are all kinds of things. Which may not be very easy to answer at this vantage point in history, because it when we see, that's another important point. There's so many important points. When we look back and see how aggressive Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was, and how actually polemic Bhaktivinoda Thakur was, we may think, why are they so heavy? But if we understand the situation and the need for that, it also helps to understand, although acharyas, they're beyond time and space, but they operate within time and space. So to understand their teachings, it also, the atmosphere, the milieu in which they taught, it also helps to understand.
This question from Maharaj is about the Chaitanya Upanishad. Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Yeah, Bhaktivinoda Thakur discovered Chaitanya Upanishad. Actually, it was given to him, yeah. So we're told. But the modern standard of accepting evidence, there has to be independent affirmation of that. Otherwise, we just accept it on Bhaktivinoda Thakur's word. Of course, that could be there also. Revelation. The whole Divya Prabandham was lost and revealed. But it's accepted in one half of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. And ultimately, it's all revealed. That's Srila Prabhupada. He translates Shruti as revealed scripture. The Upanishads, they're all revealed in the heart of one person. Therefore, you have the Rishi of the Upanishad, because he revealed it. He's the one person. So, we do accept revelation. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that such and such a person had found it and given it to him. You never know, you may find another manuscript at some point in time. Maybe, maybe not. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Channa Avatar. He's a hidden avatar, but there comes a point where he's supposed to be revealed also. So it may be that so many things about him are not revealed, They're hidden, deliberately hidden. Several times in Chaitanya Bhagavata and Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find there's some pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then he tells the person who he reveals to, don't tell this to anyone. But it's written there in the book, so it must have been revealed. Must have been revealed at some point. Just for instance, that brahmana who was offering food, and the baby Nimai came and stole it three times. He said, why are you doing that? Well, you call me to eat, because he's offering it to Vishnu. You call me to eat, and then I come and eat, so what's your problem? And he said, you don't remember, just like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna, Taniyaham Veda Saravani, Natvang Veda Paranta. I remember previous births, you don't. He said, when I was in Krishna Leela, you also came and I did the same thing. So, but he told him afterward, don't tell anyone. It's not the time for telling. Later is the time to tell it. Yeah, so about Chaitanya Upanishad? No. Research. Don't do research.
Also, some of the books like
Mukundamala edition Bhaktivinoda Thakur has, which has verses which know it, which is, it's a well-known text. Especially in South India. Maybe previously it was in North India also. We don't know exactly. It's Kulashekhar Alvarez from South India. But we find Stotaratna is quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita of Stotaratna of Yamuna Acharya. So Ramanuja himself personally traveled all over India and Nepal, what's now Nepal. And what was it? India at that time wasn't the small country that it is now. It was bigger. So then the knowledge of that was spread widely. But anyway, in South India, it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur has an edition with verses which not seen anywhere else. How is that? It may be his own vision. Kulashekhar Alva gave to him, or Krishna gave to him. That's also, he, among his songs, there's the Bhaktivinoda Thakur has, he wrote one series of songs, Yamuna Bhavavali, which is his Bengali versification of some of the prayers of Stotaratna. So that's another contribution of Bhaktivinoda, which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur took that further, is that in Bengal, no one knew anything about the South Indian Sampradayas. But he, beginning with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he translated them into Bengali, both Sri Vaishnava and Madhva Sampradaya works, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur took that further. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur printed Srimad Bhagavatam in Bengali script, and he gave his own commentary in Bengali, and he gave also the commentaries of Madhvacharya and Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur in Bengali script, but in Sanskrit only. Which is interesting because Madhva's... Oh, that's another whole topic. Let's not talk about that now. We identify ourselves as Madhva Sampradaya, but really, there are a lot of differences also. So, yeah.
Thank you. We have been...